Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. Find that place in your Bible. This is the last lesson on this matter of the thief. The thief cometh, and that thief being teenage dating. We've been talking about that the last couple of Wednesday nights. Chapter 4, verse 23, a very familiar verse, one that no doubt most of the young people, if not all, have committed to memory. It's probably in the King's Kids program. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've been submitting the truth to you that teenage dating steals and kills and destroys the joy that a Christian teenager should experience. Once again, reiterate, you want teenage boys to be interested in teen girls, and you want teenage girls to be interested in teenage boys. That's how it's supposed to work, how God made it to work. However, that interest should be checked and kept in interest mode only during those teenage years, especially high school. Now, the wise man wrote about the importance of keeping the heart with all diligence. Look at verse number 23. The first word of verse 23 is not give. It's the opposite of give. It's keep. Do you see that? Okay? Keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep meaning guard or protect your heart. The last thing you need to do as a teenage young person is start giving your heart away. You're supposed to keep it. All right? It is the source of life. We talked about that on Sunday night in the message, this past Sunday night. Something goes wrong with your heart, you jump on it because you realize that this could end my life. You might have a sore foot, sore hand, something wrong with your elbow, maybe your hearing. Yeah, get it fixed, but it doesn't have the urgency that things do when it involves our heart. Why is that? Because life issues from our heart. I'm talking about physical life. Issues from our physical heart. And it's the same thing spiritually. Life issues from your heart. So you got to be careful who or what influences you expose your heart to, because any of them have the potential to change the direction of your life. Because look, the direction of your heart determines the direction of your life. And there's a case in point in the Bible, it's not even in my notes tonight, but Solomon, King Solomon, his heart got turned away from God because of the women he loved. His heart got turned away. The whole direction of his life was turned because his heart got turned. So the direction of our heart determines the direction of our life. That's why you can't just give your heart, give your heart to any influence out there. Okay? And especially as a teenager. Obviously, if a teenager's heart is allowed to wander further away than just simple interest in somebody, and an interest is an interest. An interest is, he's cute. An interest is, she's pretty. Okay? Good. I'm glad you're a boy and you think she's pretty. And I'm glad you're a girl and you think he's cute or handsome. I'm not sure cute's what he wants to know, but handsome, okay? But, if it is more than just an interest, keeping it is going to be difficult, if not impossible. And I'm going to tell you, parents, when teenagers start that process of giving their heart away, it accelerates quicker than you can believe, okay? So the time will come when you give your heart away. But you know what's necessary? You know what needs to be in place? Is some degree of maturity before you give your heart away. Some degree of maturity is necessary for both parties involved in a relationship to make it work. So I want to look tonight at maturity, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here in this chapter, of course, it's known as the Great Charity chapter. The word charity mentioned over and over, I think, 9 times in 13 verses, if I remember correctly. And great, great truths about the subject of real love, agape love, that love feast, that deep abiding love. And in verse number 11, Paul uses a human illustration to teach a biblical truth. I'm not even going to get into the biblical truth tonight because I want to use the human illustration because it's real. The human illustration is a truth itself. All right? Now, he uses it to teach something bigger, if you will, but it is a truth in and of itself. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." That's maturity. That's maturity. When he was a child, he spoke as a child, he understood as a child, he thought as a child, then he became a man and he put away childish things. There was a time when Paul matured, grew up. Everybody is born a baby, grows into childhood, and then at some point should mature into young adulthood. And then over time, even young adults will mature. You know, the Bible never designates an age group known as teenagers. The Bible talks about children, young men, and old men. Children, young women, and old women. That's what it talks about. That's the three age designations in the Bible. When a person is a baby, their practices are babyish. You pull one of them little newborn babies out of the nursery back there, and they coo and coo and spit up over themselves. And you know what? Everybody, oh, that's so sweet. Isn't that? Oh. Well, if a six-year-old does that, that's not cute. You know, your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old, your 12-year-old get sick, get to the bathroom. Get to the bathroom, you know, lay in the bed and spit up all over yourself. That's not cute anymore, okay? So when a person is a child, their practices are a child. When a person is a baby, their practices are babyish. When a person is a child, their practices are childish. And then you've got young adulthood, both young adult manhood and young adult womanhood have their own practices, and the practices of young adult men and young adult women should be different than those of children and babies. That's how it works. How it's supposed to work. Unfortunately, doesn't always work that way. Now you got men in their 30s and unfortunately even in the 40s who still haven't graduated, matured from high school years. Their practices are the same. It's pathetic. Now, if you start giving your heart away during your teen years, here's the question. What are the chances that the one to whom you give your heart will be mature? What are the chances of that? Somebody say slim and none? That won't happen. Every person goes through a maturation process. Paul said, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, some of that maturation process can happen at home. But this is my opinion. This is only my opinion. I'm not sure I can back this up with Scripture, but just observation of 40 plus years, going on 41 here in the ministry and being around teenagers quite a bit during that time. Not all the maturation process can take place at home. Some happens when a young person goes away, moves away. When a young person is still at home, they come home every night. They are under other than camp or conference or you know, some tournament, maybe a ball tournament. They're pretty much home every night. Maybe they spend the night at a cousin's house once in a while. Maybe grandma and grandpa's. But the majority of nights, they come home. When they come home, they are under dad and mom's watchful eye every night. But when they move away to college, they're on their own. They're on their own. Dad and mom's watchful eye is not there to, you know, hover over them. The young person must parent themselves. They find themselves making decisions that were made for them when they were at home. Now, look, this is not a hard and fast rule. I get that. There are exceptions. There are some young people who go through the maturation process completely while they are at home. And that's wonderful. But by and large, the most common experience for young people is they don't go through the full maturation process until they move away. So it's just the way I've observed it happening. Even with our own children. I feel like some of our kids, by the time they got to 17 or 18, they had some degree of maturity. But that accelerated when they moved away and had to do things without the watchful eye of dad and mom. So, do you want to give your heart away as a teenager to someone who, at best, is in the process of moving from childish practices to the young adult practice stage? At best. In college, or at least after high school a year or two, there's a better chance. It's not a utopia. No. But there's a better chance that that young person is more in the young adult practice stage of their life. And so they get to a freshman in school or a sophomore in school. Young man notices a young lady notices a young man. And hopefully by the time they're 19, 20, they're a little further ahead in this maturation process than they were at 16. Should be. Now, again, it's not cookie cutter, but the vast majority of young people, the common denominator is what I'm talking about tonight. It takes time to complete that maturation process, and sometimes it doesn't. Paul said, when he became a man, he put away childish things. At some point in time, qualities of maturity should begin to show themselves. If qualities of maturity don't begin to show themselves in the life of a teenager, that means they are still in the childish practice stage. They're still a child. Because the designations of age in the Bible are children, young men, older men. So if they're still practicing childish ways, why do you want to give your heart away to somebody like that? Can somebody say that's dangerous? It's extremely dangerous, okay? Now, how do you know if someone is mature or at least in the process of maturing? Well, Paul listed three areas of maturity. He listed three areas. Talk. I spake as a child. Understanding. And thinking. He listed those three areas in verse number 11. So let's talk about it for just a minute here. Let's think about this. Talk. You start to give your heart away at age 16 to somebody who has a hard time speaking truthfully. I'll tell you what. If you catch them lying to a teacher, if you catch them lying to their parents, if you catch them lying to their friends, you better run away as fast as you can. I'm going to tell you what, if there's not an honesty issue, if there's not honesty, you've got a trust issue. And if you've got a trust issue in a relationship, that's major problems. Major. And trust is so fragile. It can be broken so easily, unfortunately. If they don't speak truthfully, if you catch this young lady, you're in it, you think, boy, and you start to get more than just interest and give your heart away, and you find out she's lied to her parents, he's lied to his parents or some teacher or something, you better put that thing in reverse, beep, 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 and start backing up quick. Not a smart thing to do. If on the third day of dating, the boy says something like, I love you, that's immature talk. If a girl says something to you with batting her eyelashes, no one understands me like you do. That's childish talk. That's immature talk. That's one of the areas that Paul said he matured in. He matured in his talk. And I do a whole lesson on this to the boys that are studying in homiletics. I talk about this whole matter of talking truthfully and talking maturely. Talking truthfully and talking maturely. Paul told Timothy to be an example in the area of word. And that's not the word of God. That's his talk. His vocabulary, how he talks. So you get around somebody and they talk immaturely, then you know what? You probably don't want to give your heart away to somebody that's immature. Second area he was talking about here was the area of understanding. Can this teenage young man, can this teenage young lady, can they give a reason for doing what they do? Or is every answer to the questions they're asked about, why do you, I don't know. Well, why did you do that? I don't know. Or if their answers to questions about why they do what they do, or why didn't they do it? I didn't feel like it. I don't like it. Or I feel like it. Or it makes me feel good. Or I don't enjoy it. You probably have an immature adult on your hands, an immature teenager on your hands. You don't want to give your heart to someone who is silly and cannot be serious about matters. They may not, and I'm not talking about being overly serious where you can't laugh and have a good time. But look, laughing about silly stuff constantly may be a lot of fun when you're 16, but at 26 it gets old real quick. Real quick. Is there any maturity in their understanding? Can they give a mature answer for what they do or don't do? Or is it just, So be careful about that. Talk, understanding. And then the third area was that of thinking. In verse number 11, when I thought as a child. If they're all, what do children talk about themselves? I, me, I'll promise you. You know, I have staff devotions on Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock with the teachers and the guys on staff at the church here. And the kids all gather in the lunchroom, before the time to dismiss. And I'll guarantee you go in there and you'll hear the words, I, me, my. They're talking about what they did at home, what they did that morning. There's nothing wrong with that. They're children. They're children. But at some point, it needs to be more than just I, me, my. That's selfish. That's immaturity. So, there's no way of knowing if they're going to put away childish things when they are 15 or 16 years of age. How do you know that? You can't know that. And if they're showing signs of immaturity at 15 or 16 and you're starting to give your heart away, that's a huge mistake. It's a huge gamble. It's a huge risk. It's a risk not worth taking. They'll do that, okay? Now, let me give you one more thought because this is very important as well. That's Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. Don't turn to it. But Amos asked this question. You know the question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the obvious answer to that question is no. Can't happen. Look, you might be able to walk together if one of you roots for the Cubs and the other roots for the White Sox. He said, well, what if they both get in the World Series at the same time? Okay, that's right, okay. What's the chances of that happening, right? That ain't going to happen. You might be able to walk together if, you prefer chocolate ice cream and she prefers vanilla. But do you know when they are 14 or 16 what is actually in the heart of that young person when it comes to major directional issues? Like which Bible do they believe is the Word of God? That's a pretty big issue. Baptist or non-denominational? I'd be very concerned about somebody who looks at the Baptist question with I'd be very concerned about that. Historically, down through eons of time, they weren't always called Baptists. They had other names. But historically, they have clung to the truth of God's Word. Historically. One of the leading evangelical preachers in this day, Max Lucado. I mean, he's got books. He just came out and apologized to the homosexual community for a sermon that he preached. Back in 2004, preached a sermon against homosexuality. I realize now that I didn't help people with my position, and I apologize, and so forth and so on. An evangelical is an evangelical for a reason, folks. There's a reason they're evangelical. And you send your children to these schools where evangelical kids attend, you better be careful. You'd better take the issue of whether they're Baptist or not seriously. Seriously. How can you know that at 14? How can you know that at 16? And I'm not saying that even in Bible college, it's a done deal. Obviously, I went to school with a lot of guys who ended up non-denominational. You sure aren't going to know at 16 how that's going to turn out. Going to church regularly or randomly? Well, they go to every service now, maybe because they have to. How do you know what they're going to do? Contemporary music or Christ-honoring music? What do they believe about that? Standards of personal separation or none? How are you going to know all of that until they are older? And it's not a done deal, unfortunately, at even 21 and 22. But you stand a lot better chance knowing at 21 and 22, 20, than you do at 14 and 16. It just makes common sense. So the first word in the verse is keep. Keep your heart with all diligence. Not give it away. Man, be careful with your heart. Guard it and protect it. And don't just go into any relationship just giving your heart away to the first person that comes along that bats her eyes at you or that winks at you and thinks you're a pretty girl. Okay, I mean, that's silly. That's immature. Wait it out. You know, it's been amazing. It's been unbelievable to me. But, I mean, you know, we had a girl here some years ago marry a fellow. And this took place in Bible college. And it grew up in a Baptist church, grew up in a Baptist home, got a diploma from a Baptist school, went to a Baptist church as an assistant pastor. And over the course of time, now he's a universalist. Just ridiculous. They're divorced. Lives are all messed up. All messed up. That happens in Bible college. You have to be careful who you give your heart away to. Even in school like that. And folks, if that can happen to people in their 20s, their early 20s, what are the chances at 14 and 16 that it's going to work out? I'm just saying, look, you say, well, you guys put a lot of pressure on these kids by, you know, this dating thing. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Take all the pressure away and let this thing just go free reign and watch the disaster that follows. Wait it out. I can't give you a chapter and verse that says thou shalt not date as a teenager. Can't give you one. But overall, considering Bible principles, it seems that it's much safer to be later rather than sooner. Later rather than sooner. Okay? When you marry, you have to walk together. So you better be sure that that can be done before the I do rather than after. Wait it out, guys. Be interested in a pretty girl. She's pretty. Be interested in a handsome guy. Ladies, he's handsome. Wow. But keep it in check. Keep it right there. Okay? Wait it out. And the thing I talked about last week is a thing that is more important than anything else. It ought to be on your prayer list right now. God, I want to marry the girl you have for me. God, I want to marry the boy you have for me. And parents, you ought to encourage him in that. You ought to be praying for him as well. Amen. Second most important decision that I ever make in life is who they marry. Sooner? No. Doesn't work. Later rather than sooner for the teenage dating. That's it. No more about it. In the next Wednesday nights, we won't be on that subject again. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. And then, Brother Joe, if you get these devotionals ready with your fellas. Father, I just pray that you'll protect our families. I pray for our young people. I stand up here. I look out into the eyes of a lot of precious young people. Thank you for their life. Lord, I thank you for their potential. God, so many of them have a good relationship with their parents. And so many of them are doing well with their devotions. And Lord, so many of them are normal. They're human. Boys get interested in girls, and girls get interested in boys. But Father, I pray that they'll keep you as the priority relationship. And under that, their parents. And Lord, they will be mature enough to wait till they mature and grow up a little bit to enter into this kind of relationship. So, Father, bless now, I pray, these families, these young people, and God, may it be according to your will, your time, for your honor and your glory is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen.